Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
How do holidays affect your insurance needs? How can you be prepared for the increase of visitors and parties? We're going to discuss these issues and many more, and a lot of the safety concerns involved in these issues. My guests are Bob Rusbolt. He's the president and CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Sue Nestor, who is a spokesperson for the organization. Welcome. With the holiday season coming up, it's going to be kind of challenging for a lot of people. Let's start with the upcoming holiday, Halloween. There's a lot of issues around Halloween. You've got a lot of kids coming to your house. What kind of liabilities does this place on the homeowner? And, you know, should you be nervous?
I think most people have one thing on their mind before Halloween, and that is, I got to get the candy and I got to get the costumes. But really, there are other more serious issues that we find time and time again people just don't take into consideration. And that is, think about the fact that you've got a lot of children coming up to your property. If somebody trips and falls on your property, you can be held liable. And that's something that you have to take very seriously, particularly when at the time that they're coming, it's dark out. You need to check around your property, make sure if there's wet leaves or something slippery, you need to remove those. You need to make sure your front steps and walkway is in good repair. There's nothing loose that could trip somebody up. And you need to be really careful with those jack-o'-lantern flames and keep those away. I have noticed particularly this year in the stores, there are so many safer, great options to light up your pumpkin. They've got strobe lights and colored lights and all sorts of great battery-operated choices.
Something and, other than a candle,
exactly.
For example.
And it's just so much safer when you've got crowds of kids. You know how they come to your door?
Oh, yes.
And there's a million of them out there, and they've got costumes that might have, you know, big and loose pieces, and you really need to make sure you take great care, because you could be held responsible if something happens.
Okay, so you've got to put that in mind, along with buying the candy and the goodies, or healthier choices, or whatever choices you make. Now, Bob, as an organization, what do you see complaints that come in from the agents? Not complaints exactly, but the complaints that come to your agents during times like this?
Well, during holiday season, there's always an increase in risk, and it's the agent's responsibility to help their clients and customers with good risk management. And Sue just listed a number of those things. Other things are make sure you keep your pets inside during this season.
Oh, good point.
You know, I have two Welsh corgis. They're not very ferocious, but they do freak out during Halloween season. And it's good to keep the pets inside, move lawn furniture away from where kids are. Most importantly, if you're driving through the neighborhood, make sure you're driving responsibly, extra slow. There are kids in very dark uniforms and costumes, so be responsible in that manner as well. But during holiday seasons, it doesn't matter which holiday it is, alcohol plays a large part in many homes. And if you're a host of a Halloween party, remember there are lots of adult activities taking place on Halloween as well. And you're serving alcohol, it is your responsibility to make sure those people do not drive drunk when they leave your house, or you can be sued for that. And that's probably the number one biggest exposure that a homeowner has is alcohol liability.
You know, I always find that very interesting that the homeowner can be held liable when one of the guests overindulges. And I guess the thought is that you invited these people into your home, you have to be responsible for how they behave and how they drink. That can be a challenge sometimes.
It's a big challenge because they're all friends of yours and people think that they're okay to drive and they're really not. It's your responsibility to call them a cab or to drive them home or to make sure that they have a designated driver.
If you're sober.
If you're sober enough to make sure, and you have to make sure one of the people in the household is obviously responsible. The biggest drinking partying day for a homeowner is actually Super Bowl Sunday. Most people think it's New Year's Eve, but the most drunk driving problems occur on Super Bowl Sunday.
Especially if your team loses.
Yes, then it can be very depressing. But there are a lot of exposures for homeowners around all of the holidays.
Okay. Now, Sue, I know you have kids. You have the issues that a lot of people have with them coming in and then going out. As a parent sending a child out trick-or-treating, what do you tell the kids? I mean, a lot of people will go with their kids and walk them down the streets, which is a good idea. But the older kids don't want you to do that. They don't want mom around. They don't want mom or dad looking over their shoulder. So how do you tell your kids to be, what do they look out for?
They don't, well, you know, they have to be careful too. And you have to have that conversation with your child before he or she leaves the house. In our household, we tell the kids they can only go on the streets with sidewalks. So if you live in a neighborhood with sidewalks, that's a good thing to enforce. Safety in numbers. You should never let your child go alone. If, you know, obviously a parent should go with a younger child. The thing I think that a lot of kids fight too is they don't want any sort of reflective tape or anything to junk up their costume. But that's really important because it's dark out and, you know, you want drivers to be able to see your kid. I find that if you can do something like that on the back of the costume, they complain for the first couple minutes and then they forget about it after that. So that's okay.
They don't really see it.
No. And always just go to the homes that you know. You know, you have to be careful about what you're picking up to and only allow, you know, go through your kids' candy when they get back and go through it carefully and make sure everything is wrapped and only go to the homes that you know. You know, it can be a scary night.
Now, for the insurance side of this, what do you need to be sure that you have, Bob, as a homeowner in terms of insurance coverage? Is there something special or what do you do?
Well, there's two types of insurance that I think are important for your listeners today, Shirley. One is, of course, a good homeowner's insurance policy. And the second is a renter's policy. People forget that just because they're renting, they need renter's insurance. Liability for a renter is not covered under the owner's policy. You have to have your own liability coverage. If somebody comes into your house, they're trick-or-treating, you're having an adult party in a rented condo or an apartment, it is still your responsibility, not the owner of that property, for liability issues. So it's very important to have a good homeowner's policy that will cover usually up to about $300,000 in liability. Many homeowners in this Washington, D.C. area buy an umbrella policy, which extends that liability past that $300,000, a million or $2 million or $5 million in coverage. So homeowners policies will cover all kinds of things. Somebody falls on your sidewalk and gets hurt, to, of course, your house burning down.
What? Now, you may not know the answer to this, but what about if you hire a room somewhere to have a party? Or you're in a hotel and you're having a party. What are the same rules apply? Do you know?
The liability for that would be the hotel. And that
hotel,
does
okay.
That reduces your exposure. However, under our system of litigation, people would probably still sue the hosts of the party and the hotel.
Just give it a blanket host.
Right.
Suing,
so,
yes.
You know, trial attorneys sue everybody that's in sight. And it doesn't mean that you have no liability, but it probably is reduced some.
Somewhat. Okay. All right. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guests are Bob Rusbolt. He's the president and CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, sometimes referred to as the Big I, and Sue Nestor, who's a spokesperson for the organization. And we're talking about insurance, and actually safety is really what we're focusing on. But the peripheral issue is, are you protected against something bad happen to you? Now, one of the things that we've seen here, aside from the spookiness of Halloween, is all the spooky weather that we've been having. Whoever thought you'd have an earthquake? And you know, my house, my electric gate opener was hit by lightning a couple of days after the earthquake. Oh, and then we had a hurricane. You think I didn't feel under siege? Fortunately, we escaped from everything except just blowing out the electric opener on the gate for the goes into my backyard. But you never know when something is going to happen. And man, we've really had it. So what do homeowners need to do? Now, earthquakes are not common in our area, but this was a pretty big one. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean it can't happen again. So, Sue, what do you do? What do we need to think about in terms of preparedness for natural disasters?
Well, I think you just said
or man-made.
We need to think about it. I mean, in the last few months here in the Washington area, we've had things that we never anticipated would ever happen here. An earthquake, tornadoes, a hurricane. We've had repeated flooding situations. So I think the lesson that we can take away from these last couple of months is that we just do need to be prepared. This is a great time, and we did it in my own family, to sit down and talk about what do we as a family do in a disaster? Where in this home will we go if there's another earthquake? What's the safest place to be in the house? I wanted my children to know that. And we went through that, and we also discussed it with our nanny, because she's there during the day a lot of times too, and happened to be there mm-hmm. the day of the last earthquake. Same thing with the tornado. We discussed if that warning is coming that there's a tornado in the area, what is the best thing to do? You need to have that discussion with your family. Also, right now, we're headed into fire season. So, I mean, there's the natural disaster side of preparedness, and then there's just sort of the general safety side. And with holidays coming up, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, but open flames and candles and just dry leaves in the dry air creates a hazard. Do you have a fire escape plan? Have you sat down with your family and figured out, where do we go? If the house is on mm-hmm. fire, where is our meeting place away from our property where we can make sure that everybody, heads and make sure everyone's together? Do we know the two ways out of each room in our home? You know, the door is going to be the first choice. Which window is going to be the second choice? Do we have collapsible ladders mm-hmm. in the bedrooms that we can stick out the windows if we have to? Do we have our plan in place? And we've just recently in my family sat down and had that discussion to make sure the kids are up to speed.
I mean, this is really and truly, because when a disaster happens, you don't have time to think.
You don't.
You don't have time to prepare then.
You know, right. You want the kids to know, you never go back into a burning home, even if your prized possession is in there. You know, the people matter first, and just get yourself out and, listen to the directions of firemen if they are, at the property.
Right.
I wanted my kids to know to listen to that, not just to hear my voice.
Sure. Now, let's talk about some of these issues in terms of insurance, Bob. For example, during the recent soaking rains, the hurricane and then the rains that came afterwards, there were so many trees that were falling on people's houses, on cars. May not have been your tree. If your neighbor's tree falls on your yard and let's say it doesn't damage anything, it just falls in your yard, are you responsible for getting it up as your neighbor?
Your neighbor, if it's on his property, it's his responsibility to remove that tree and clean it up. By the way, if a tree falls down and doesn't hit your house, a structure on your property, it's not covered by insurance.
Right.
So if you have to hire somebody with a chainsaw to come in and cut it up, you have to pay that out of pocket.
And boy, that can be a big...
It can be very expensive in this area. And I've had to do that myself mm-hmm. on a number of occasions mm-hmm. where, it costs sometimes thousands of dollars to remove trees. If it hits your house, it's totally covered. Mm-hmm. The removal, the repairs, and all those mm-hmm. sorts of things. So
you don't know what to hope for, do you?
Right, yeah. Just a glancing of the house
now,
might be a good
all right,
thing.
But let's go back to the neighbor's tree. So if the neighbor's tree, clearly on the neighbor's line, but it falls on my yard,
right,
my neighbor's responsible for getting
it up. Yes, it's his or her tree, and they need to
all right, now it. What if it hits? What if my neighbor's tree hits my garage or my car or something? Then who's responsible?
Either person's... homeowner's insurance may come into play. You need
to
contact your agent immediately.
Yeah, that's a dicey situation. Mm-hmm. And because the homeowners, of course, covers damage on your house.
But homeowners generally have a deductible. So why should I have to pay $500,000 deductible for my neighbor's
And it may be the neighbor's homeowner's deductible. That neighbor may have to pay your deductible. And that's where it always gets into a gray area. And most homeowners' deductibles are between $500 and $1,000. But there's two things, Shirley, that must be remembered. Number one is that flooding insurance, and a lot of tree falling is not by wind, it's by super saturation of the mm-hmm. ground. And flood insurance is not covered in a basic homeowner's policy. So if you're in Alexandria, Virginia, or on the Potomac, you have to buy a separate policy for that. And number two is, as Sue briefly mentioned, earthquake coverage in this area, something we've never thought about, is not covered either. You have to buy a separate earthquake policy. Mm-hmm. I had pictures falling off my walls in Virginia and books falling out of bookcases and all those sorts of things. If I had had significant damage, not one penny would have been covered under my homeowner's policy.
Gotcha. Now, how much – this would be a – I guess you'd call it a rider to your policy?
In some places it would be a rider. Some insurance companies it could be a rider. And some you have to buy a separate – total separate policy for it.
And what is generally
– It varies. But I will tell you, the deductibles are high. They're usually in the 10, even up to 20% range of the value of a house. So if you have a $300,000 house here in Washington, it's usually going to be at least $30,000 in damage on an earthquake policy before you get any reimbursement.
So you really have to look at that as a disaster policy to cover you in case of a disaster.
That's
it's not going
right.
to cover you for little knick-knacks.
It's not like a regular homeowner's policy where you have a $500 or $1,000 deductible. Mm-hmm. Earthquake coverage is to protect you for the big one. Your $300,000 house is destroyed, and you get $270,000 back.
Now, when you have flood insurance, does that in fact cover water in the basement if it's from a flood from the outside?
Yes.
Okay.
But it depends.
It would be the not circumstantial.
Sometimes you have to buy separate contents coverage for mm-hmm. a basement. What is not covered is by a flood policy is if your sump pump breaks or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's under your homeowner's policy.
Okay.
Homeowner's policy, though, if your sump pump breaks, and I had this happen to me in Virginia as well, is usually capped at $5,000 or $10,000 of damage. And you have to get additional coverage from the standard homeowner's policy for the breaking of a hot heater.
Hot water heater.
Thank you.
and you'll get it out.
And those sorts of things. So there's different. You really, it's the bottom
really
line. Show
you have to
read your
policy.
You have to talk to your trusted choice independent insurance agent. You have to read your policy. You have to understand what's
mm-hmm.
covered.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guests are Bob Russ Bolt. He's the president and CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Sue Nestor, who is a spokesperson for the organization. Unfortunately, oftentimes we don't think about insurance coverage for many of these things until it happens to us. It's too late then, of course. But there's no reason why we can't build on what has happened in the past and figure out ways to do it. Does generally the amount of deductible in a homeowner's policy, I guess that should be something, how much you feel that you can afford to lose?
Correct.
In other words, because the lower your deductible, right. the higher your premiums, right?
That's right.
It's a great way to lower your premium if you mm-hmm. feel that you can handle more out-of-pocket costs up front. And, you know, most people go for years and years and they don't have a homeowner's claim. So, we always recommend if you do think that you can raise your deductible and, you know, mm-hmm, chances mm-hmm. are you're not going to have a claim, you should do that because the premium
money.
Savings is significant.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Shirley, here in the Washington area, most homeowners have deductibles that are too low. $500 on a $600,000 house, if you can own a $600,000 house, you should have a higher deductible.
Amen.
And you can save a lot of money on your premium.
Right, right. And we always hope, of course, that we don't need the insurance. So, now, I know you have a lot of information on your website. Let's tell people where to go to get all this wonderful information.
That's trustedchoice.com. It's a very consumer-friendly, easy-to-use website. There's a lot of just basic answers to common insurance questions on there, and you can look it up by category: home, auto, life, health insurance. And it's also a great way to find a good agent. You can plug in your zip code and be directed to someone who can really help out.
So it's trustedchoice.com, and I know you have information on all the subjects that we've been discussing so far. Well, let's talk about the impact on class, which is part of the Obama administration healthcare package, which has been deemed unworkable. What does that mean for consumers?
Well, the CLASS Act was a long-term disability, long-term care provision that was included in what is now called the Obamacare law. And that would have provided $50 a day in benefits for a person that was participating in that program. The problem is that that program was voluntary, not mandatory. Unlike the other provisions of Obamacare, there are mandatory employer provisions and mandatory individual provisions. Of course, the individual provisions are being litigated right now in the courts. The CLASS Act, to be perfectly blunt, was a Ponzi scheme because you and I, we could have waited until we needed that benefit and then started participating in the program.
Without having made any contributions.
Sure. Why any healthy person would ever pay premium to something when they can wait until just before they need it to join would be beyond me.
Right. Right.
So it was, there are so many fundamental flaws in this program that the Secretary of HHS, Kathleen Sebelius, said that is just unworkable. And of course, that's what many members of Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, were saying
both
originally.
Both sides of the aisle said it's not going to work.
It's just not going to work. And the reason that this was actually included in the law is this was Ted Kennedy's pet project. And we know that he was not in good health at that time. And a lot of members of Congress wanted to accommodate his desire. So it's not going to happen in all likelihood now. And it's probably a good thing that it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, I can understand what you're talking about. But now people can buy, if they're concerned about, they can buy long-term care insurance.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of long-term care products in the marketplace today. All the major insurers have them. You can get them from a trusted choice agent. They can be pricey. There's no doubt about that. You know, people are living longer now and need care longer in their lives. And so the products can be pricey. But the earlier you buy them, generally the cheaper they're going to be over the long term. Mm-hmm.
So it is something if
it's something if it's worth thinking about, particularly when you think about the changing demographic. People are living longer, retiring sooner in some cases. You can be retired and you can be, living for as long as you had your working life. And you need to think about, will you be able to take care of yourself if you needed to go to some sort of a long-term care facility?
Right. And
it's hard to think about, but people really need to do it.
Well, that is so true because you really don't know what's going to happen to you. And in this area particularly, long-term care is so expensive.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's much less expensive in other parts of the country.
Yes.
I know that from a family member of mine who's in an assisted living environment in Florida. I mean, the price is like a third of what it is here. It's amazing. All right. We only have a couple of minutes left. What are some last words and thoughts for our listeners? Anybody?
Well, I think the most important thing is that this weather in our area is proof positive that you have to be prepared. We talked about a number of things today, but, we haven't seen the horde of locusts attacking us yet, but that could be next. But it just shows when you're having earthquakes of this magnitude in the East Coast and hurricanes hitting our area, that having a good insurance policy,
makes a difference.
Knowing what's in the policy and having a good trusted choice insurance agent makes all the difference.
My big thing about all contracts is whether or not you can read them. Can you read insurance contracts?
You know, they're not as bad as you might think. People don't want to sit down and put the time in. But really, and I mean, I have done it. You sit and read it. It is, much of it is understandable. But this goes back to having a great agent, too. And that's why you want to have an agent that you have a relationship with who you can ask those questions to. They understand that stuff perfectly.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is so true. Is it advisable often for Pete, and this is just a short term, half a minute answer, should you look at bundling together your insurance, your car, all of that stuff? Can you get it from one company? Is that a good idea?
Absolutely. You can save sometimes 10 or 15% by putting your automobile and your homeowner's policy together, called a package policy. Most insurance companies will give you a discount for that rather than doing your car with one company and your homeowners with another, your umbrella with another. When you package it all together, it is cheaper.
It is cheaper. So that's something people should take a
look at. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you all so much. Just to let everybody know, they've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests have been Bob Rustbolt, who is president and CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, and Sue Nestor, who is a spokesperson for the organization. And thank you for giving us something to think about, especially with all the crazy weather that we've had. So it's been a little scary around here lately, and not just from Halloween. At any rate, I'm Shirley Rooker. I thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.